Well, friends, October 21st came and went, and the world is still here. Do you know what I'm talking about? Harold Camping had predicted, first of all, that it was going to end on May 21st. And when that didn't happen, he altered his predictions and said, maybe a little quieter, but surely October 21st. The latest I've heard is that he has resigned. This particular parable is about the ending of things. It's in a section in Matthew's gospel that deals with endings. Chapters 24 and 25 are sometimes called Matthew's parousia. His stories, his telling of the end. It's apocalyptic, what we call apocalyptic literature. Similar to other portions of the Bible, from the Old Testament and the New. Some we clearly identify, like the book of Revelation. Parts of Thessalonians. Parts which talk about when things fall apart. I've got to tell you, folks, that apocalyptic literature in the Bible is not given to us to induce fear, but rather it is shared with us to allow hope to bubble up in difficult times. So please hear what I say about hope and fear. For there is much to be afraid of in this day and age, in this particular time when our economy, who knows what direction it's headed, when things happen that seem beyond our control. We need the words of hope that help us to stand and face into our difficulties. That is a continuing word for this service, and one reason why that video was chosen. Because, you know, the only way that we can stand is because there is one who stands by us all the time, day in, day out. Amen? There is a strength that gives us hope as we face tomorrow. Now, in other sections of Matthew's little apocalypse here, there are troubling words because he speaks of the world falling apart. But that's not the only thing that should be said. This particular parable, the story of his, is not about necessarily things falling apart. He is talking about the coming of God's kingdom. And he likens it to what? God's coming kingdom is like, what is it like? It is like a wedding celebration. It is like a celebration. And in the story, he tells about 10 young women, perhaps your age. 10 young women. And he calls half of them, what does he call half of them? Wise. And the other 10 are, the other five are foolish, wise and foolish. And the only thing that we are given in the story to tell us how or why they are wise or foolish is what? Some of them are carrying with them their lamps and more oil, and others of them are not. So we have the wise and the foolish. And the story goes on. And I find it strange, if I might bop again to the ending, where it seems like the punchline resolves, where the moral of it all is. And it starts in some translations, especially the one I just read, said, "Keep awake, therefore." And I wonder, is that really what this story is about? Keeping awake? Because if you noted, who fell asleep in the story? Did just half of them fall asleep? They all fell asleep. You know, perhaps like you may in the next course of minutes. They all fell asleep. So I wonder if that's really the moral, to keep awake. I mean, I certainly wish for you to keep awake this morning. Keep awake. I wonder if rather it shouldn't be termed in maybe spiritual awakeness that is ready and prepared. Well, let's go back to the story. We have these wise and these foolish bridesmaids who are waiting for the celebration to begin. And we are told that this celebration is what? Does it happen right away? It is delayed. But we're not told why. Now, there's a lot about wedding celebrations back then that we really don't know about. I mean, I gather from what I have read that the practices were a bit different from today. I mean, nowadays, I don't think I have ever been a part of a wedding celebration, either leading it or participating in one where the bridesmaids were carrying lamps. Anybody been a part of one in which they were carrying lamps? No. What are you normally carrying? Flowers. Yes. And this is a celebration that seems to be happening not in the daytime, but when? At night. But there is a delay, and we really aren't told what the delay is, though I have some ideas, because I know that marriages back then are not like today, which seem to be kind of an agreement between two people that are entered into and witnessed by others. Back in that day, it was a family affair. That there was a lot needed to be settled before anything could be spoken that joined husband and wife. There were negotiations that had to happen. There were dowries. There were things that needed to be laid on the table. And perhaps that is one reason why things were delayed. But we're not told exactly why. All that we are told is while they waited, these 10 young women fell asleep. And then at a shout, they are awakened, they trim their lamps, and get ready. And the sense is, as you're reading it, that these women are not just there to stand up and look pretty. They are there to provide what? Light. They are the lighting for this service that is to happen. As a procession, probably through town from one family's home to another, comes and here is the bridegroom, and we're not told where the bride is, but it comes and they have an important responsibility. They are there to hold up their lantern that the families might celebrate and rejoice. Now, there's parts of this parable that I don't like. Can we be honest and say the things in Scripture we don't like? That doesn't mean that they're not true. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't struggle with them. But there are two aspects of this story that I don't like. The first aspect is that, you know, when I was raised, my parents always told me to share. I mean, that's one of the things you learn in the playground, right? You learn that you need to share your toys, right? And so when you have these five bridesmaids who did not bring enough oil, and they ask the wise bridesmaids, you know, if they could borrow some, do the bridesmaids share? No, they don't. Their eyes are perhaps on the task that lies ahead, and they are thinking that this may be a long celebration. I mean, more than just 15 minutes, you know, I do, let's get out of here. Something more worthy of, you know, just lifting your light up. And so, you know, if they share the oil, then all the lamps at a certain point are going to go out and there will be no light. Now, I don't have to like the fact that they don't share, but that's something I struggle with. And can you guess what the other part I struggle with? Is when those five bridesmaids make a frantic dash to Home Depot or wherever and come back, they find the door to the celebration what? Closed. And they knock on the door. Let us in, please, Lord, Lord. And what does the groom say? I don't know you. I don't like that part, but I don't have to like that part, do I? Do we? Now, if we are to allegorize this parable, then there are times we ought to avoid allegorization, but the church has allegorized this poem, this parable, a great deal. Who is the groom here? If we were to make one-on-one correspondence, who is the groom? What is Jesus trying to say? Is this the groom is the Son of Man. It is the Messiah. It is the one who shall return. And usher in and be married to, and the church has often thought of itself as the bride. And so in the life of the church, you know, in the course of things, the story, the unfolding story that we have Jesus who was crucified and he rose from the dead and he went to be with the Father, and the sense is that a time will come when things will be fulfilled and he will return. And there will be a feast, a wedding celebration, our love feast, in fact, when we, in our own way, gather to break bread and drink from the cup. This is a foretaste of that wedding feast of the Lamb, of the groom of Christ who returns and is united with the bride, which is the church, Jesus Christ. That's the traditional understanding of this parable. And one thing you need to understand about this is that all Scripture has a context. It's got a place. Matthew, when he was pulling together the stories that he had received into what we now have as the Gospel of Matthew, he had a community he was addressing. And this community was not there when Jesus walked and talked on this world as a human being. And these words were intended to inspire hope for these people for whom, you know, who had been told that Jesus will return. But they kept waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and it had not happened. There is a delay. And how do we deal with the delay? How do we deal with the delay? In fact, Christians have been dealing with that delay for over 2,000 years. And there have been, all down through the centuries, persons like Harold Camping who have been saying, the day is now. It's going to be May 21st or October 21st. But apparently these people do not hear the words of Scripture that we here have heard this morning. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. What's important is that you've got oil in your lamp. Remember that camp song? I got oil, give me oil for my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil for my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. And then we sing Hosanna. Now, I can't tell you what your oil is, but I encourage you to think about it. What does it mean for you to have plenty of oil? Is that the energy that you need to keep prepared, to be ready, to face the day-to-day, the everyday responsibilities of being a follower of Jesus? That the oil that helps you to stand by one another as you go through difficult times? Is that the oil that you need to stand by, even if it's just yourself? is you're facing into your moments that you just don't know if you can go on. What is the oil? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the Scripture? Is it the dynamite of God? What is that oil that helps you to burn? I want to return to that image of these bridesmaids, especially the five who went in for the celebration. And they had their lanterns, and they held them high. And I want to say to you that as followers of Jesus, you are a lantern holder. You are a lantern holder not just for yourself. You are a lantern holder for other people. When other people are facing darkness, you hold up the lamp that helps them to see. You hold the lamp and you stand by them through it all, holding your lamp and praying that the difficulty that we experience now is really leading into the celebration that is ours in Christ. We live with that expectation, that future hope. As I said, these words of Scripture are not for inducing fear, but for lifting up the light, that in the dark we might be able to see and be guided by the love of Christ. And we know that perfect love casts out fear. And we know one more thing, going back to that video, that as we hold up the lamp, it's not about us and our ability to hold it up and our ability to be light. It's about the one who is standing by us always, even till the end of the age, without whom we could not stand and without whom we could not be light. Amen?